back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Text line, you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Still to come about an hour from now, as we do every Friday, State Senator Chris Elliott, the returning champion of the Jeff Moore Show, will be with us. That's at the bottom of the next hour, so you want to stick around for that. Joining us now, one of my favorite guests. I haven't had him on in a bit, but we get him on a few times a year, and he's always very generous with his time. But Congressman Robert Aderholt from the 4th Congressional District is on with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Good to be with you. Yeah, it's been a while since we've been on, but good to be back on with you. And I'll get glad to hear from you and hear from what's going on down your way. And as we were talking before we went on the air, I know that things are busy down in the southern part of the state with the beaches and with a lot of visitors coming down since school's out.
Well, hopefully you get down here, take in some of it here soon.
I hope to. I hope to during August to maybe get down there. There's a couple of meetings that I try to get to down that way, so I'm hopeful to be down there during August.
Well, we're looking forward to that as always. Hey, we'll start here, I haven't heard much about it. Space Command, I know you're really, really outspoken about this, kind of leading the charge. Any sense of where that is? Is it just kind of proceeding as the Biden administration sees fit?
Yeah, well, we're actually in a holding pattern right now. What we're trying to do, the strategy is, and of course, working with Dale Strong up in the 5th District, and of course, Chairman Rogers, Mike Rogers from Armed Services, and about myself on defense preparation, we're trying to take it from a three-pronged approach. And of course, Senator Tuberville and Senator Britt are both on this issue as well. And we're just trying to make sure that there's no new money goes into what is going on in Colorado, where they want to move it or where the president wants to move it, even though it was decided that it was going to be in Huntsville. And so what our hope is that after Biden leaves office and Trump comes in, then I think it'll get back on track. But right now we're just sort of trying to keep things from progressing, to try to keep the Biden administration doing this big build up in Colorado, so that they can say, oh, well, we've made all this investment now, so we have to put it in Colorado. Because as your listeners remember, and you remember, this was a long process they went through, and they decided, they looked at various places. Huntsville was by leaps and bounds the best place to put it based on all the factors that were being considered. And that's where it was going until the president stepped in. And so that's where we are.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's important to keep that on the radar, but it sounds like, that maybe once Trump is president again, assuming he wins, we'll get some clarity on that. Number two, dealing with the former president, Congressman, just in general, your reaction to that New York verdict. Is there anything that can be done from a federal standpoint, or what do you make of it? What's your reaction?
Well, I think it's all in the courts right now, and of course, I think most Alabamians, and I think quite honestly, most Americans are very frustrated with what went on and just the way this whole thing was handled. And to be honest with you, I would dare say that if you ask an average person on the street, they could not tell you what president was actually charged with. It was a charge that they drummed up that I went to law school, and it's confusing to me. And even other lawyers I've talked to, it's like this is really stretching it to get a criminal conviction out of something that dealt with a campaign finance violation. And the way that they're New York law, and I, of course, don't know New York law, but the way they have construed this, they've tried to put things together to try to make it a criminal, that which would normally not be. And obviously it's got written all over its face that this is something to just try to aim at President Trump. And most people agree that if this had not been President Trump running for president, then this would have never even come up. So I think the American people are smarter. They understand that that this was just something that is just trying to really get at the president. And I think it's backfiring. And I quite honestly, at this point, it's in the courts, but I think the courts will, at the end of the day, they'll say that, you know, there's no way that you can put someone in prison that's running for president. And I wouldn't be surprised if they throw the case out. And I think I saw yesterday in a news article, and I didn't get a chance to see it because I told you earlier, my mom has been in the hospital, and I've been actually spending a lot of time with her the last couple of days. But I thought I saw where even a former Attorney General Barr said he thought the case would be thrown out. And, of course, as you know, Barr was appointed by Trump, but he and Trump have had difference of opinion, and he, you know, someone who looked just at the letter of the law, and he thinks that it will be thrown out. So I think it's just a matter of time before the courts say that this is just inappropriate, unlawful, and it'll go away.
I mean, if you think about it, Congressman, I mean, a dangerous precedent here that what I mean, and not that Steve Marshall or Attorney General would ever do something like that, but, well, you know, just go charge Joe Biden and get a jury in a rural county in Alabama to convict him, and then we'll just put him in jail until the presidential election's over. It's really like, not that that's going to happen, but it seems like it opens the door for those kinds of shenanigans. And I don't know where we'll be 20, 30 years from now, but
it sets a bad precedent. It sets a bad precedent. And I know the argument on the other side, they will say, you know, well, if someone has done something illegal, they should be, everybody be held accountable. But honestly, like I say, this charge that they have come up with is so convoluted, and trying to turn a campaign violation into a criminal a charge where somebody would go to prison is just really has written all over it political shenanigans. And so I think that's why the American people are seeing through this, and quite honestly, why you're seeing this actually helping Trump as opposed to hurting him.
Congressman, speaking of the election in the fall, well, you know, how do you feel about the top of the ticket? I mean, Trump looks strong today, swing states and nationally. And number two, like, well, what do you think? I mean, the House is so close. We even got a competitive House race in Alabama with Carolee Dobson and Shamari Figures. But I guess overall, what do you think it's going to look like come November? Do you think Republicans could get the House?
Well, I think, quite honestly, I mean, I like to be, you know, when you ask politicians these questions, and I count myself in that when I say politician, people that hold office, you know, everybody's Republican say, you know, it's going to be the Republicans are going to take the House. If you ask a Democrat, they say the Democrats. But, you know, I try to look at this from, you know, just trying to be where we are, and I don't try to sugarcoat it. I do think that Republicans do have a really good shot of keeping the majority. Now, I can't say in all honesty that it's just going to be, we're going to run away with it, because we only have two votes in the majority right now. And so I think it's better just to be honest with people. And that's what I try to be, is that I think we do have a great shot of keeping the majority since we're two in the majority right now. But at the same time, it's going to be close. And anybody tells you that it's not going to be close, I think, is not being totally honest. I think that we do have a better than 50-50 shot of holding the House, but it's not going to be a slam dunk. And we've got to work hard between now and November. We've got to make sure that we win every seat that we have, and then we need to pick up a couple of seats. But I was in a meeting with the Speaker the other day, and he said, you know, no, whether it be Democrat or Republican that wins the majority, it's not going to be by a wide margin. It's going to be by the very slim margins of either side. But he is also encouraged that the Republicans will take the majority. And like I said, I'm encouraged they will too. I'm just not saying that it's going to be, we're going to take it by 15, 20 seats that has been predicted in an earlier election.
Well, and assuming you could get the majority, I mean, I think the Senate map lines up really favorably for Republicans. The House, we're waiting to see. But, I mean, you know, it was bumpy there when Republicans got it in 22, coming out of that. And, you know, Kevin McCarthy and the tragedy that sort of happened there. You feel like that's kind of put behind us a little bit. Should the Republicans keep control of the House, we won't have that sort of turmoil and rancor again.
I think that we learned a lot of lessons through that. And, you know, it was just really a combination of things after that 2022 election. And quite honestly, I think we're on a better track now. And I'm very encouraged. Mike Johnson, the new speaker, I think he's really trying to do a good job. He's got, of course, a closer majority than McCarthy ever had. And he's been able to do an excellent job. So if anybody can do this, I think Mike Johnson can. Like I said, that's another reason I'm encouraged. But obviously we have our issues. But I do, like you say, I do feel very good about the Senate. And if we can get the Senate, we can get the White House. Even if we hold the House by a couple of seats, then, you know, that'll make all the difference in the world.
Speaking of presidential election, we're starting to get, I guess, some hints dropped about the Veep stakes. But any thoughts on the running mate process for former President Trump?
Well, I will tell you who my pick would be if the president was asking me, which he has not, and I'm sure he won't. But if I had to say, I would say Tim Scott would have to be near the top of my list. I served with Tim in the House before he was appointed to the Senate. And he is someone that is a true conservative. He is someone who has stood by President Trump's side, and I think that's important. Whoever President Trump appoints, it's got to be someone he has full trust in. And while he did run against him in the primary, when he saw that he was not going to be the nominee, he got on Trump's team. So he came out for Trump early. Even in South Carolina, which was very, I think, very difficult for him to do because, as you know, and many of your listeners know, it was Nikki Haley that appointed him to the Senate. So it was a very tough thing, but I think he knew that at the end of the day that Trump was going to win and that he was going to be the one that was going to be the nominee. And there was no way that Nikki Haley was going to be the nominee. So Tim Scott, in my book, he is a solid guy, conservative. He is a serious, in his faith, Christian believer, and someone that, doesn't just what I call showboat. He is really someone who is really a workhorse and who is very sincere. So I won't say I put my money on Tim Scott because I don't know what the president's thinking, but I think if he chose Tim Scott, it'd be a wise choice.
Also, Congressman, by the way, we're joined by Congressman Robert Aderholt here on the program. Congressman, Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, coming to speak. A lot of speculation about what could happen. I don't know from some of your colleagues on the left side of the aisle there. But what are you anticipating there? What do you make of that whole situation? I mean, you look on the Democrat side, there's some real divisions over that. I think in general, well, there's probably a few exceptions, that Republicans are pretty much united on the Israel question. But what do you make of where we are domestically on that?
Well, Israel has always had a friend in the United States of America. And I think most Americans stand by Israel. And quite honestly, I think most people stand in support of Netanyahu, or most Alabamians, and I think overall most Americans. But it is, you're right. It's from the left. They have bought into this thinking that, there is this the situation in Palestine, that there needs to be two states, and that, I don't have all the solutions of how we should solve the issues over there. But I do know that Hamas has to be defeated. I know that they are wanting to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and that's their ultimate goal. And they have got to be destroyed. And we need to work with Israel to try to make sure that we keep Israel strong, and we don't let the Hamas get a stronghold in any way. And I am concerned if we don't stand by Israel, then Hamas is still going to be, even though I know there have been crippled quite a bit because of the attacks, but they're still active over there. And until Israel really put something to do away with them completely, then they're just going to come right back. So it's a very difficult situation, and I think there's probably a lot of innocent Palestinians that are caught in the middle of all this. And it's and you know, we certainly feel for them, especially the women and children and those that are just, you know, happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I certainly want to do anything we can to help the innocent people over there. But Hamas has to go, and we've got to do everything we can to stand by Israel in the process.
I mean, it's remarkable to think about. We operate on the notion that October 7th was the equivalent of like 9/11 to the United States. And I mean, what if France said, hey, you don't need to be going into Afghanistan and doing what you're doing. You know, the reaction in this country would be like, no, we got to do what we got to do. It seems like we're not really practicing what we preach, at least on the American left, what we preach when it comes to people forget. Like, that was a brutal, brutal attack.
Yeah, you just have to go back and look at, you know, go back and read and watch the news clips from October 7th and what had happened that day, and you realize that it was brutal. And it was not just a little small attack. It was an all out attack on Israel. And obviously Hamas is not going to listen to anything but strength. And so I stand behind Israel. I stand behind Prime Minister Netanyahu. It's going to be good to see him speak to a joint session. I've over the years had a chance to meet with him on a couple of occasions, and you know, he's a strong leader, and I think this is going to be good for Israel, and try to make I'm glad that Speaker Johnson is doing this, and so hopefully he will be able to explain to the American people firsthand what is going on here in Israel, and they're just trying to protect themselves and to make sure that October 7th doesn't happen again.
Congressman, you're always very generous with your time. We appreciate it. Hopefully we can talk again soon, but thank you for coming on.
Jeff, always good to be with you, and I look forward to hopefully getting down to your way before too much longer.
Oh, yeah, we got the light on for you down here, Congressman.
Okay, sounds
all
good.
Right. All right, Congressman Robert Aderholt there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.